Off the Ball, GAA.
But the reason we carry a smaller panel is because some players can't live to those standards and cultures that we're trying to achieve.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Yes.
Dropping today.
Took a long time. Like, I often try and persuade myself that I'm not a massive procrastinator and I don't just put things on the long finger. Well, I found the end of the long finger today. It's actually happening. This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
It's taken quite a while. You first told me about it a long time after you started it and that was a long time ago. And yet, it is 10 parts. It's basically a 10-hour documentary series. So it's not something that you'd probably like do over the course of a long weekend.
Yeah, it's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly or whenever it comes to food. Like, I saw this thing and I was like, I can record this as I go traveling around Latin America and I can take like a month off before going back to work in whatever, September, October 2023. And that month I'll get all 10 of these episodes recorded with links and edited and it'll be good to go. March 2025. How are you? Finally.
Okay, it took you a while, but that's probably because there was a lot of work that went into it. It was good. You went travelling. You took a year off.
Yes.
Off the ball.
Uh-huh.
And actually came back unusually. But you took a year off to go and see the world, see South America in particular.
Uh-huh.
And did you have this in mind when you went?
Yeah, I wanted to tell stories when I was there. I didn't quite know it would turn out as it would. Like, there was only, as I say in the documentary, there was only really one thing that I wanted to do, and that was to be in Argentina for the World Cup, because it was 2022. It was what seemed at the time like Messi's last World Cup. I know he might now play next year. So I was like, I'd love to just hop between like Buenos Aires and his hometown of Rosario, maybe somewhere else, and we'll see how this goes. And then I realized that I'm a very slow traveler. So I'd kind of like gone through Mexico. I was there for like 8 weeks and I was like, okay, this is starting to get a little bit close now. I must look at the price of flights to Argentina. Absolutely astronomical. So I made a decision there and then, look, I'm just going to continue to go overland and I'm probably not going to make it. So when the World Cup kicked off, I'd made it as far as Costa Rica. So I hadn't
not
even made
it.
Not near Argentina, not even in South America. So that first day when Saudi Arabia beat Argentina 3-0, I'm like, it was 1-0.
1-0.
It was 1-0. I was like, yes, unbelievable. This is fantastic. I am not going to regret this one bit. And then like near the end of the group stages, there was this moment where like Costa Rica almost qualify and there was like 7.5 minutes of joy in a beer garden. And I was like, this has worked out better. Argentina are crap. They're not going to win this. And then they managed to scrape their way round by round by round. I'd made it to the north of Colombia by the time it had got to the final. And it was just like one of the most bleak experiences I've had watching a football game, because that was my plan. I wanted to be there. And then you see the videos coming out on social media over the intervening few days when they return, and literally what seemed like one of the biggest parties that's ever happened involving humans on this planet, and I missed out on it. So that was the only thing I wanted to do, was to go and do that and maybe make a bit of content around Argentina in a World Cup, Messi in his last World Cup, and I managed to screw up my one job. But I guess when you get distracted from that and you go down a different path, you end up discovering a whole pile of other stories.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, what ended up happening was that by the time I eventually get to Argentina, like, I'm a bit more confident with the language, my Spanish is a bit better, and as people will hear in this podcast, that opened a lot of doors with regards to the interviews that did happen in Argentina and some of the interviews that did happen elsewhere in South America. And it's a sliding doors moment where other avenues for this podcast in particular were opened.
And you found on the journey that, whereas I suppose people who've never been to South America like myself see it as football is life and there isn't, you know, too much else to the sporting story, maybe throw in a bit of motor racing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so much more than that, and every country has its own, you know, peculiar, in a good way, I mean, but specific interests that are, that, you know, reveal these fanatical people about these things that we know nothing about. And we think of ourselves in this country as so, you know, special with our indigenous sport and our, you know, and how big it is and how much it matters and how the rest of the world doesn't know. But all of these countries have this.
Yeah, it goes way beyond football, and definitely there's more of a focus in this to kind of like move away from just telling the story of Boca Juniors or something. That's not really, it's going to get a mention, there was a game attended, but it's not a part of the narrative. What ended up being part of the narrative was a discovery of weird off-piste sporting events. And again, this kind of comes back to the timing. Because I was leaving Argentina when I did, 6 months later than I wanted to, I ended up arriving in Bolivia when it came to festival season. And one of the festivals that they have in a rural part of Bolivia is a fighting festival where people go and they, these tribes come down from the mountains to meet in a plaza, and they essentially meet up just to box each other in the head, to spill blood, to give an offering to Mother Earth so that they'll have a good sort of harvest for the upcoming season. And getting to experience that and, you know, having an old indigenous man from Bolivia coming up asking for me to fight him was a moment that you don't get from just paying and watch Boca Juniors. So again, this was something that was kind of crafted as I went, and they became the main stories, and they became like the stories that I wanted to tell. And I'm hoping anyway that there are a whole pile of chapters throughout this story that are going to be told in the English language for the first time. And maybe there are some stories that are being told full stop for the first time.
Wow.
So yeah, like there will be your quote unquote bread and butter Latin American football stadium stories, but they've definitely been caught in the shadow of what is, in my opinion, is greater and more interesting stories.
Yeah. And we're starting with Colombia. Week one. So we're going to go 10 weeks here.
Yes.
10 Tuesdays in a row. We're going to release 10 episodes. All very exciting. We're going to start with Colombia today.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little preview.
Well, Colombia is, I guess, one of the episodes where we are going to get like a flavour of a multitude of different things. This is probably one of the most rounded episodes of the series, where we'll go from a traditional game, which is Tejo, that is their national sport. It pre-exists the Spaniards in Colombia, which I guess the top line for this game is that you drink loads of beer and you make little packages explode. Greatest sport in the world, Tejo. So that's one aspect. There's going to be the story of why Colombians love cycling, why they are a country that have had such great levels of success in cycling in recent years. We're going to be talking about the two different teams in Medellin, the Pablo Escobar Atletico Nacional team and the Independiente Medellin, the guys who preach themselves to be the good guys and the guys who are using their ultra setup to try and help the community in Medellin as well. There is more than that in the episode that I can't even think of right now because there's quite a lot in it, but it is quite a three-dimensional view of Colombia. What I should say is that there's going to be a recurring theme, two recurring themes throughout all 10 episodes of this. The first one is just obviously the screw-up of the World Cup and trying to come to terms with it. There will be a nice way to actually come to terms with it in episode 10 when we get to the end. But the other journey we're on, episode after episode after episode, is a journey via hitchhiking through Patagonia. And this was, again, when it comes to being confident with my Spanish, being confident to being independent, this is one of the great benefits of getting to Argentina late. Because what essentially happened in the middle of this story is that I get stranded in a tiny shack in the middle of nowhere, and I end up getting an invite to the home of the family of a World Cup winner as a result of the people that I meet in that shack that night. So there are a whole pile of coincidences that come from this hitchhiking journey. We're going to tell that in 10 parts at the start of every episode. And then every episode, we're also going to go to a new country and tell that in greater detail.
Diverted the name from not making Argentina, yes, for the World Cup?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just going down a path that was not my intention whatsoever. But I think, I hope, I'm pretty sure that it's led to some good stories being told.
Is your Instagram account public?
Yes.
Okay, so anyone who's followed Owen's Instagram account during his trip through South America will, I think, have seen some level of the journey. And it sounds like a huge amount of it was held back in terms of this story that's coming out. So as if, like me, a friend of Owen, you were both intrigued, excited, horrified, and quite scared for your life while following your Instagram over the course of 2022, then, you know, there's 10 more weeks ahead of you.
Yeah, I remember phoning my mom after I'd done the hitchhiking, and I don't know, I think my dad might be on Instagram, or somebody had got information to her that this was happening. She was like, I think you might be done with the hitchhiking now, are you? And I was kind of considering doing another stint, and I was like, that is her telling me to say, stop what you're doing right now, because you're going to end up in a bad place. Thankfully, that wasn't the case.
No. Well, every Tuesday, Diverted. I can't wait. An amazing piece of work. Really, like, congratulations.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Thanks very much. Hopefully people enjoy it. I think it's good. So hopefully it turns out to be the case for the listener.
To unlock lots more from the OTB daily feed, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.